Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Podnuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B., coming at you from the great state of Florida, where once again, it is raining. I am unhappy to announce. So it's been a horrible, dreary day. So that's what I'm dealing with. But I think the day is going to become brighter because the guest that I have today is one that you all love and enjoy. I am joined by Don Sizer, CEO of Third Element Consulting. Don, how are you doing today?
Fantastic. It is not raining where I am.
It is not. Lucky you. Oh, my goodness. So that's got to be good just in of itself.
Most days, yes.
Most days. All right. So most of you that have been a listener of the Podnuts Pro show will remember her. She has been on two episodes before, back in April of 2019 as part of the ASCII montage, and then again in September on episode 229, where we learned all about her and Third Element Consulting. So it was about time to get her back because we need her unique perspective in the community.
Well, thank you for having me back. It was such an enjoyable experience the last couple of times that we did this, and I was really looking forward to doing this today.
All right, beautiful. Well, why don't we start with just, you know, some of the softball type questions. How are things going, and how's it been through this COVID pandemic?
You know, everybody has been asking, you know, how are you doing? How are things going? Yeah. Everybody's staying safe, you know, that kind of thing. And we do the same thing with our clients, which is good, and we should. Things are going well. I mean, literally, business just kind of kept going for us. And actually, it's increased for us. So we're doing really, really well as far as that goes. Clients are, you know, moving right along. Employees are moving right along. We just kind of like picked all of our stuff up and went home, plugged it all back in and went right back to work.
Sounds good. That's sort of like me, although I didn't have to pack up and go home because I don't have a ton of people at the office, so I could pretty much be me. I'm 1,000 feet from my house, so I just commute back and forth like I always did.
Nice. I have an 18-minute commute, which isn't, you know, it isn't terrible, but yeah.
That's not bad at all.
No.
But I think I'm about 18 seconds.
Yeah, I know. I'm a little jealous. I got to tell you a little bit.
Yeah. It takes me longer to get from my door to the car than it does from the house to the office. But it's interesting. So you said that you had a little bit of an increase during this time. So explain that, because most people have not.
So we've onboarded a number of clients, a bunch of deals have closed. You know, business for us literally is kind of booming at this point. So we're doing a little bit better than we thought we were going to be doing. We're actually going to double this year. And if we keep pushing, we may actually triple.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, are you talking in just revenue or
revenue
endpoints, or how are you defining the doubling?
We're defining the doubling with revenue.
Money. All right.
Money. Yeah.
So
yeah, I hate to push it to money, but it's
the money. It's always about the money. Same as the professional athletes. It's always about the money.
It's always about the money.
So, all right. So doubling the revenue, has it been, you know, you said you've onboarded some new clients. Has it been just in the onboarding of clients? Has it been, you know, increasing services, big projects? What's it been?
We had a couple of big projects that closed. We've had a couple of small projects that closed. And it was, you know, onboarding some new clients, and they literally onboarded during the pandemic. I mean, it was like, hey, pandemic's coming. We've got new clients. How are we going to do this? So it was a whole lot of scrambling trying to figure out, you know, from the way we normally do things to how we now have to do things, at least for right now.
So without being able to go on site, was this things that were, you know, kind of in the works, or did you have to meet prospects during the pandemic and adjust on the fly like that?
We've had to meet a couple during the pandemic, but we had started beforehand, and then it was kind of like, oh, hey, so we're going to switch everything over to, you know, virtual meetings and things like that. And they were really good about it. So I can't really complain. Everybody has been fantastic about the move to online. We've had like one person we had a little bit of pushback from. There was a whole lot of like, yeah, it's just not for me. And you have to respect their decision for that too. So
So it wasn't for them. So what, they still preferred the face-to-face, or?
They still prefer the face-to-face. And that's a whole lot of like, when we can get back together, we'll have the face-to-face. But until then, we'll just keep on keeping on.
Oh, so you're making them wait.
Yep.
Nice. Put the foot down.
Yeah, I got to put the foot down. Well, I mean, we had a number of cases in our area, and it's just I can't send my staff out. I can't send, you know, myself out, that kind of thing, when we don't know what the situation is. And then we had issues where, you know, we have clients that are first responders and things like that, where we have to go because they have to stay up and running. So we have to kind of temper, you know, where we're going, how we're interacting with people, how long we need to stay separate from other people. I mean, like literally before, I'm kind of running on to everything right now. Sorry. I tend to stories in this weird circular fashion. So
this is what people want to hear. Go ahead.
Right before all of this hit, I was out in California for an ASCII show. I was speaking with ASCII. So I was out in Long Beach, like literally before the lockdown started. So I had been very, very ill before all of this hit. And I thought, oh, maybe I've actually had it. So we don't know whether or not. So we're still kind of waiting on the antibody test to see if we can get one and see if a number of us in the office have already had it or not. We think maybe we have. So we'll see.
Okay. Well, you were thinking this at the start of the pandemic, or you're thinking this now, like you waiting for tests right now?
A little bit of both. We were waiting to see, we were hoping the antibody tests would come out a lot faster than they did,
right,
to see if we've actually had it. But here we are, still waiting.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So the conversation that I've actually avoided with a lot of people is the talk about the PPP loans and the EIDL and that sort of stuff. Part of it is because I don't have employees outside of my wife.
I think it's a good conversation to have.
Right.
So by all means, ask away.
Well, I was going to ask because, like I said, I've avoided because I don't have employees other than the wife. And we've set ourselves up where we have emergency funds, both for the business and for home. So
which
I didn't
very
have to
smart.
Worry. Most people,
very smart.
Most people either aren't like that, don't think like that, couldn't do that. You know, new businesses starting out, or even old businesses where, you know, you just didn't get to the point where you could save money. So in your case, I know you've got a full staff. You know, what did you guys do?
So for us, I mean, we try to keep money aside all the time, at least a couple months of operating expenses, because you still have to pay your staff. You still have to do whatever. And if we have clients that are slow to pay or don't pay or whatever, payroll still comes due, whether people pay or not. So you have to have, you know, some money. So we had some money set aside, but, and I don't know how you guys do payroll or whatever. We actually use a service called Gusto. They're fantastic, by the way. And they take care of a lot of things for us. Well, one day I logged into my portal to do payroll and they're like, hey, if you haven't done the PPP, you can do it directly through us. I was like, bonus. So I went through the paperwork for that and super easy. It was very streamlined, had, you know, everything ready to go, all the documentation, they took care of it. Literally all I had to do was like scan some driver's license and, you know, add in a couple little pieces of paper and that was it.
Yeah. I think people that had those, like for instance, our bank, we do all of our stuff, well, most of it online. And so as soon as we log in, it's there, you know, asking if, you know, hey, if you want to sign up here, you can. We just chose not to and took the risk of missing out if we needed it. But I think we're going to be okay. Most of our clients, and when I say most, basically all but one have paid their invoices on time.
I've got one
that's being a sole pay, but I kind of expected it. And they're not a huge chunk, so I can survive.
So. Well, and you know, I feel too, like I'm not somebody else's bank, but on the flip side of that, if they really truly have a hardship and all of a sudden, like they can't work or they're not getting money or whatever, call, you know? Mm-hmm. Make the call, let people know what the situation is, work something out. I mean, if you just like close down and don't tell anybody and you're going to end up with hard feelings, but as long as the communication's going, you can work something out.
Right. So here's a question. So we're throwing out the outline now.
Yeah, I know. We knew this was going to happen.
Yeah. Now, when this came up, did you guys have a plan to reach out to customers or did customers reach out to you or how did that happen? Because I know a lot of people really made an effort to reach out to customers first. We didn't.
So I'm going to answer that with yes.
Okay.
We didn't necessarily have a plan, but it kind of went both ways. It was a whole lot of us calling them, them calling us, and a whole lot of like, okay, what do we do now? Oh, Well, you unplug your things, you take them home, you plug them back in, and you just go back to work. And that's, for the most part, that's how everybody functioned. So it wasn't a huge deal as far as, you know, the people that needed to go home went home and worked. And then again, because of municipal, local government, first responders, that kind of thing, are a big chunk of our clients. A lot of them just kept working at work because right. they kind of have to do that. So yes, we did a little bit of both.
Okay, interesting. My clients, it was funny, most of them basically just went into hurricane mode. So I actually didn't have to do much, and it was more of them calling saying, hey, we're going to treat this like a hurricane. Is that okay? And I'm like, fine with me. And I only had one customer that actually went through the process of having to unplug phones so they could take them home if they had, you know, voice over IP. So that was the only client that had to do that. Everybody else was already set to work remotely, and outside of a few remote sessions to get, you know, support staff to work remotely, it wasn't that bad.
Yep. Right. I think we had our biggest issue was not having enough laptops for everybody, because most of our clients are geared to work at a location.
Right.
So, I mean, we were kind of stuck with everybody else, but, you know, obviously, you know, hindsight's 20/20, and going into this, we had, you know, talked about this previously, like, hey, we should probably have more laptops. Oh, we don't need them. We don't want to spend the money, you know, and they're all like, yeah, about those laptops.
Yeah.
Let's have that conversation again.
Yeah. I got a few, and actually I only have one left that I actually had them. So it worked out. Most of my inventory is Windows 10 stations for customers that are still on Windows 7. Idiots.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. And that we don't have. We have a couple floating around that are just on legacy systems. But other than that,
okay,
we don't.
All right. So let's try to transition back to the outline.
Yeah, sure.
So you mentioned that you're on track to double, maybe even triple this year. So one of the things that I had intended to ask you anyway was, you've always seemed to be in a growth mode, and I wanted to ask if that was intentional or if it was organic.
So it's a little bit of both. One, as a leader, you have to decide whether or not you're going to grow at any point in time. And that's as an owner, as a leader, whatever the situation is, you have to make a conscious decision to say, yes, we're going to take this on. Yes, we're going to push that rock up the hill. You know, before you decide to actually do it, there's a lot of planning that has to go into it too. Because it's that, do we have the money? Do we have the people? Do we have the, you know, this? Do we have the that to actually make that happen? And until you get your mindset around all the things that need to go into that plan, you can't just decide to randomly grow or things go horribly awry and it explodes and bad things happen. Or you can, and you just, you know, go for it. Because people have done that and it's worked fine, but I'm more of a planner. So some of it is organic in that, you know, we have clients that are like, you guys are good. We've introduced you to these people and that's how you grow. And then we've gotten to a point now where we're starting to just pick up momentum and grow in other ways too.
All right. And are you staying within your little niche that you've had where, you know, you've had the first responders, you've had the government. So are you able to do it within there, or are you moving into different sectors?
We're moving into some different sectors as well. So we're still growing in the niche that we have, but we've hit a couple of other sectors, and because of them, we're actually now in West Virginia and we're moving out to Missouri next. Oh. So yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
So that's like I said, it's a little more, you know, planning and growth than I think we were even anticipating, but some of our clients are growing and we're growing right along with them.
Now, are they branch offices that you're taking on, or these?
They will be a branch.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. I assume you've reached out to other ASCII members to get support remotely.
I have. That was like the first thing I did was like, Jerry, I need people's names. He's like, I got you. Don't worry.
Nice. All right.
Yeah, so that's good. Worked out really well.
Yeah. That's.
It was really interesting too. I was able to vet some of those names against some of the other vendors in the channel too. Like, you know, what about this guy? What do you know about this guy? You know, and they were like, yes for this one, no for that one. Oh, I really like this guy. He's really good. He's a partner of ours, you know, that kind of thing. So it's been, that was neat too.
So you vetted them with vendors based on the products that you use, or just people that you've met?
Based on people that I've met, but also products that we use. So okay. people that we're pretty tight with vendor-wise, I was able to just call them up and say, hey, do you know this person? You know, how do they do their business? Is it in alignment, ethically, morally, you know, that kind of thing, the same way that we would want to do it. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you something about your stack. Oh, I know what it was. So.
You want my secret sauce, don't you?
Yeah, I always want secret sauce. Well, no, here's what's happening. So my research department had noticed that you had put out a ad for a knock technician.
Yeah.
And so my thought was, wait a minute, you have a knock? Are you big enough to have a knock?
We are, yeah.
So I was going to ask about that. So you've got, what? Well, let me ask, because everybody's definition of knock is a little bit different.
It is,
so
yes.
So what is yours?
So ours is, and most people would call it service desk, mm-hmm. help desk, that kind of thing. So we have a bunch of people that kind of work in the same area doing the same type of job. We don't have the cool monitors and all the flashy lights and cool stuff like
that. You don't have the 80-inch dashboard on the wall?
No, no one really cares. that's I mean, we do, and we all see the dashboard. I mean, what do you guys use for
we're SolarWinds.
Your ticketing system? So your SolarWinds, we're actually a Datto partner mm-hmm. for that. Okay. So we have, you know, we have a dashboard that's in front of our faces all day, every day. So we see all that stuff every time we log into the Datto.
Okay. All right. So, okay. So basically a NOC/help desk tech, fielding yep. your remote support calls, your ticketing yep. and all that stuff. Right.
Yeah, but then they also look at our network monitoring and the monitoring queues and everything coming in that's automated and making sure that that gets done and take care of. Yeah, so yeah, we do have a knock.
Okay, beautiful. Yeah. All right, and Datto RM is part of your stack.
It is. So there you go. There's some secret sauce.
Well, actually, I was going to clue you in that I actually peeked and saw some other stuff. So one of your blogs, you have... it was called, what was it, My Favorite Tech Things or something like that?
Yeah.
And you had your staff all writing out what they liked yep. and stuff. So Datto RMM was on there. Passportal was on there.
Yep.
Unify is in your stack?
Unify is in our stack, yeah.
Yeah. And then I was going to ask you, because one of the person actually wrote custom servers, or mm-hmm. actually phrased it, our custom servers are the bomb yeah. or something like that. And I'm thinking, okay, is this your internal service that you guys built, or is this service that you custom build for clients? What was meant by that?
So we do custom builds. We used to do custom builds. Some of them, we've had to do some really unique things because of who our clientele is. So we've done some forensic machines and things like that over the last couple of years. We just put together an enormous, it is a monster server, it's a video server. For security video kind of things. And it was well into the six figures. So okay. it was a monster type server. So we just, we've been using Supermicro for the longest time. So you can configure those, you
right,
know,
however you want.
However you want, as far as that goes. And we just partnered with another company that does Supermicros as well, but just better pricing and things like that. And now they're coming in pretty much done for us. So.
Sweet. All right.
Yeah. I can hook you up with them, yeah.
Well, I used to custom build. I don't anymore. I just went to HP. Easy for
gotcha.
Me. But I don't get to build super, super secret video servers either.
Yeah, secret squirrel stuff, yeah.
Yeah, that must be nice. So I'm assuming that those are like tons of solid state drives with SAN storage and...
Yeah, I think it was like 1,300 pounds of
stuff.
You can't
talk about it, can you?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it, like I said, it's like 1,300 pounds of stuff.
Wow.
Is essentially what it is. Yeah, it's enormous.
Now, is that go on site to the client or does that stay in your place?
So it's actually being delivered to a partner of ours first, the actual security company, and then we're prepping it from there, and then it goes onto the client site. So
nice.
Should be interesting. We have no idea how we're going to get this thing moved from one spot to another. So,
well, somebody will figure it out.
Yeah, somebody's going to figure it out.
It's all about cost, right? You know?
That's exactly right. It's only a matter of money.
Mm. And let's see. So I mentioned your blog thingy. So you also put another article out. Who plans for a pandemic?
Yeah.
That was interesting.
Who plans? Who plans for this?
Nobody.
Nobody. Nobody plans for something like this. I mean, you plan for things like fires or floods or, you know, you have a bunch of, I have one client that actually has like a train that runs by their building. We have one that runs by ours too. I mean, you plan for train derailments or crazy things like that, but you don't plan for a pandemic because everybody is in that mindset of, we have drugs for everything. How can this happen? Right. So how do you plan for something like this? I mean, how literally do you plan where you can't work together?
Yeah. So it's interesting. So, you know, a lot of that, I think people caught on pretty quick. It was more about how can you hook people up remotely to function? Yep. And I think because we had been moving cloud-based or we had been, you know, getting our customers to deal with data anytime, anywhere, to some degree, most of our customers, at least if they weren't prepared for it, they at least knew about it. You know, maybe they didn't want to do it because they didn't want to pay for it.
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, there's some of that, but I think the biggest issues that we found was the work-home balance is very difficult to maintain when, you know, you get up in the morning, you go downstairs in my case, because I've kicked myself out of our office that's upstairs. My husband and I were sharing an office and it was getting really weird, both trying to be on calls at the same time. So I moved myself downstairs and you start work. And then at the end of the day, you don't really stop probably the way that you should. So we were really blurring the lines probably for the first month and a half, just working way more hours than we had been, which, I mean, we got a lot of things accomplished, right. But it was a little crazy there for a while. And, you know, in talking with clients, a lot of them were doing the same thing. Like, I didn't realize how many hours I was putting in and how much I was actually doing. And it was getting a little crazy.
So interesting you mentioned that. I wasn't going to ask you about the work-life balance, but in your case, you work with your husband at the office.
Yep.
I'm assuming it sounds like there was some separation there at the office.
Yeah, typically at the office, we're in two completely different parts of the building. He does his thing, I do mine.
And then being at home, couldn't separate as much.
No, we were literally within 3 feet of each other.
And kids at home, right?
I still have one at home, but he's graduating in like 2 weeks, so.
All right. So you had to deal with the child being around there too and dividing the streaming time, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's actually been in cyber school for years, so it's nothing new for him. Yeah. That's just, he's just there doing his thing the way he normally does.
All right. So one of the things that's funny, so most of my customers didn't have to deal with that balance because most of them have, if they're not an attorney, they have login hours. Like for instance, we actually use the Active Directory login time where, you know, staff can only work from, you know, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. So they knew that they had to kind of keep that schedule. Although some of them were, hey, can we work on weekends? Because I don't want to work during the week like I always do from home. So that was kind of interesting from a client perspective. But from your perspective, and I know that down here in Florida, like there was no place to go. But
there's no place to go here either. But, so Pennsylvania has like been total lockdown.
Right. But for me, at least I could still, you know, I could move 1,000 feet to the right or 1,000 feet to the left. So in your case, if there's no place to go, how was the stir craziness at the house?
It's not been too awful bad. I mean, I think I realized that I was more of an extrovert than I thought. I thought I was very introverted, and about a month in, I was like, you know what? I miss people. I miss their faces. I don't think at this point I could discount the loveliness of a hug, you know, that kind of thing, like the actual tactile sensation of being able to see my friends and give them a hug and just be around them again. Right. Friend of mine dropped by the office not too awful long ago. And of course we still were, you know, socially distanced and we were like, hi, you know, I'm hugging you from a distance.
Right. And that has to be interesting too, because you actually, now you were speaking with the ASCII stuff. Mm-hmm. You do a lot of conferences, right? You do several a year, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I'm part of the exchange board for CRN. So we do at least two big conferences for them a year too. Yep.
All right. So, because I try to limit myself to two or three, and that's it.
Yeah.
you were doing a lot more. So it's got to be eating at you to not even be able to go to any of those and to do everything virtually.
It is a little weird. I was just on another podcast earlier today for them, for CRN. So I got to see some people's faces, but while it's nice to be able to talk and mind share and things like that, it's not like being at a conference. You know what the conferences are like.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, after everything ends for the day, to be able to sit down and really talk to people and, you know, kind how are you doing? Mm-hmm. Let the hair down, have a drink, and actually talk to another owner to owner and say, you know, how are you doing this? Because obviously you're doing something better than I am somehow. And you find out they're really not, but they might be doing something slightly different or in a different way, or they just have a different take on something. And you take back that little bit of, I don't know, genius or secret sauce that they've got going on, and you can, you know, then reapply it. So I miss some of that for sure.
Yeah, I think we all do. I actually got a text from another tech who, you know, was saying, hey, I just need to chat. When do you have time? And we're going to have to set up a time tomorrow to do that, because you don't have that normal time where, mm-hmm. you know, every year you get accustomed to seeing somebody and knowing that we're going to be able to spend time, sit at, you know, a table and throw stuff back and forth or things like that. So this is a gentleman that, you know, we didn't have that this year. So.
Yeah, I know we've gotten together, the usual conference people that all hang out together. We got together once through this already, and it's getting to be about time to do it again. And there's probably 15 to 20 of us on that call. So that was really kind of nice. And it was just a whole, how are things going for you? What's it like over here? You know, this guy in Canada and, you know, some people in New York City, which was interesting to hear, you know, what was actually going on there. And we had some people down in Texas and, you know, people in California and all over the place. So it was interesting.
Good. So I have a personal podcast that I do. So we're going to be having a meetup later this week in that, but my family was going to be doing the first ever reunion this Ooh. Summer. And I think we're going to have to push that off. Yeah. So my mom, probably shouldn't talk about my mom, but I'm going to. She
won't hear you. It's fine. No,
she won't. She's not even on the Facebook. So, so she got cancer diagnosis 2 years ago. And this is actually round two for her. She had it years ago. And so this is her second bout. So she's on a non-traditional chemo treatment. And she's got some immune stuff. So her doctor, we were actually trying to figure out something for next week for the Memorial Day and have her come down to visit, and her doctor told her no. So part of it has to do with her not being able to go. She's actually the one that's putting the event together, and I'm just helping. So she may not be able to travel. So that's going to be one of the big factors in whether we do this or not. So it's interesting, and it's not because she's sick or anything, but it's the fear that she could.
Yeah. Have you considered plastic bubble?
She lives by herself. That's enough. but in terms of her getting there and stuff, she was going to drive. So it wasn't the matter of getting on a plane or anything like that, but it was the fact of getting there. And
just being around everybody.
I know my family, they will not adhere to social distancing or physical distancing of any kind. That's why, you know, I have to tell my sister, you know, we won't let them come over. My nephews are 20, 25 minutes from us. And the wife's like, let them come over and get in the pool. I'm like, no. No. Because the little nephew will just start climbing on everything. And
yeah. So it's a shame.
It is. But I have no idea where we went with that.
I have no idea either. This is how this works. We know how this goes.
Yep. Let me say, I did have a thought. I know that when we talked about, so you're growing and mm-hmm. onboarding clients and onboarding staff during this pandemic. And I know that when we initially talked about doing another type of podcast, we had talked about something where having to readjust your thinking in, you know, spacing, utilization, things like that. Have you kind of got that solidified with, you know, where you were going, or what's that been like?
Well, I mean, we literally had started to look at new buildings before all of this started because we were growing.
Yeah.
And now we're to the point of like everybody went home, we went to work, and it worked out. So, you know, do I need more space? I'm not sure that I do. You know, a couple of my Knot guys, they're really good at what they do. I mean, onboarding a new person, I'd like to have, you know, some of my really good guys come back into the office and kind of help me onboard and work shadow and that kind of thing. But, you know, once a new employee is there, you know, 6 months or whatever, they kind of either know what they're doing or they don't. And I would have gotten rid of them if they didn't before then anyway. But at that point, as far as I'm concerned, if they want to work from home, they can work from home. If they want to come in, they can come in. I don't have any problem with that. So I think that's some of the space and utilization that we were dealing with as far as that goes.
So like, for instance, your help desks, are they in a situation where they help each other or feed off each other being in the office? And if a call comes in and, hey, let me check with somebody, and they're able to, you know, I don't know, turn around, go to the next office or something like that. Is that something?
We all feed off each other.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's, which is good and bad in its own way. It was really funny. We, after being away from the office for a little while, we all got back in, I think last week for a day. And it was really kind of funny. Everybody had talked about this ahead of time. Like, we realized how much more efficient we were becoming at home, just from the standpoint of we weren't taking breaks, we weren't walking into other people's offices, we weren't doing things like just willy-nilly all over the place all day long. And we were using Teams pretty exclusively for, you know, hey, I need a minute of your time or whatever. Somebody would send you a chat and you'd be like, okay, yeah, in like 20 minutes when I'm done with whatever I'm doing, which is the important part there. Right. Let me finish out what I'm doing instead of I'm in your office standing here looking at you. And then you have to stop what you're doing, focus on something else, and then they leave and you're like, where was I at? I don't remember, because my thought train is already gone at that point. So right. Then you have to refocus. And how much time have you lost in all of that?
Interesting. I'm going to have to make my wife listen to this, because we have this discussion all the time.
Because
she'll come in and I'll be in the midst of doing stuff, and not that her, you know, question is important or not important,
right?
But I usually will try to stop and answer, and then of course you're off track. And you know, unless I'm doing something where I've got a checklist and I can, okay, I left off at this point here, but most of the time I'm not. So Right. That's interesting that that you have those same things, because that was one of my issues with trying to decide if I'm going to bring a tech back or not full time. Because when I had the techs here, and I've had two at a time, where if one is busy, it's kind of okay. If two are not busy,
yeah,
there's some trouble about to happen.
Yeah, that's definitely a thing. And again, it's that whole utilization thing. You want to make sure that, you know, they're utilized at least 80% of the time, and you know, that kind of thing. So as far as, I think the biggest thing is, you know, documenting whatever you can ahead of time, you know, before you start bringing people in. But once you have all of that done and, you know, you have your guys available to you, you just make sure that they actually have the work to be able to do.
Yeah. Well, this was back in 2008 as we were going remote. So
yeah,
it just turned out that I could do stuff faster remotely than to have them do it. And they didn't have the, I don't want to discount their personalities, but they weren't really persons
people,
on the phone.
People.
So back then, it was a long time ago. So, you know, looking at things now, it's completely different than it was before. Interesting. All right. So let's see. I'm going to pull up the outline and see what we have.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I've got it up too, because I get lost.
That's okay. Now, so we did talk about, I don't think you answered the question. Let's go back. So the idea of spacing and utilization.
Yep.
So it sounds like you're still contemplating whether or not you need more space.
We are still.
Okay. You thought I let that slide, didn't you?
I was hoping. I don't have a direct answer. I wish I did.
We don't have to have an answer. I just want to hear what you're thinking, because, you know, because that's a thought right now, because a lot of other businesses are thinking the same thing.
They are. And a lot of our clients are thinking the same thing, which has been, it's been an interesting conversation the entire way around. And it's not just us. Like I said, I was talking to a guy in Canada same thing. Talking to a guy in Texas, same thing. So it's not like it's just, you know, a couple people here and a couple people there. It's everybody is rethinking the amount of space that they need and who likes to actually work from home versus work at the office. And I think there's an argument for both, and for both together. So, you know, are we going to keep looking for space? I think long term, yes. I think that's going to be the answer long term. We keep hoping that the building next door for us goes up for sale. So we're still kind of like, come on.
Okay.
You know, that kind of thing. We ended up, long story here, but I'm going to make it really short. The building that we bought was actually the oldest residence in the town that we have. So we flipped a house into a building for us. The house next door to it was the daughter's home that our building belongs to, that kind of thing. Okay. So the builder of our place built the one next door to it for their daughter. So they're actually two places that go together.
Okay.
And we're hoping to actually get them back together long term.
Oh.
So that was one option for us. And we were looking at some like warehousing space and things like that as well, just so we had, you know, more room for the knock, more room for you know, prep area, that kind of thing. Cause we're kind of bursting at the seams in some places. But we talked about some hot desking, especially with my husband and I using the same office and never being in the office at the same time. So we would just hot desk in and out of there. I've had a couple of the guys say, you know what, that might be a thing for me too. I would probably be okay with, you know, only coming in a couple of days a week and, you know, letting somebody else use the office when I'm not there and, you know, that kind of thing. So, I mean, I can't ask for better staff. And if the guys are watching, hi, they've been amazing through all of this and very flexible, and they're very flexible with plans moving forward as well. So, you know,
okay. So let me go back and ask about the house next door. So are they like similar houses? Is the daughter house smaller or is it, you know?
I think they're about the same size. The one that we are in is actually a original log cabin kind of thing. Now it has a different exterior on it and there's brick and there's add-ons to it and everything else.
Insulation, it's almost 4,000 and stuff like that.
Exactly. Surprisingly, it's actually very well insulated, but it's 4,000 square feet that we have right now. And then the one next to us is probably about 3,200 would be my guess, all told.
Okay.
So, but it's wholly, it's different. It's total brick. There's no, you know, log cabin underneath it. But there's an adjoining door between the two of them through our conference room somewhere. We just have to find it because it's been covered up over the years. But yeah, we could just, you know, bring them back together.
Okay. So yeah. The idea of hot desking, I assume that would work for things like your help desk area where, you know, they all didn't have to be in the help desk at the same time.
Right.
Some could be, you know, a couple working during the day, some at home, and then they could flip flop. So that would work.
Yep. Absolutely.
And interesting. So in terms of remote support, so I know I'm jumping away from that.
And no, it's all right.
Come back.
I know how this is. We're kind of all over the place. Yes, <so. laughs>
because the idea of our clients either downsizing their physical space or, you know, because I've got a client right now that they're busting at the seams, but now they're thinking, well, we don't need more space if we let people work from home. But now the issue of how do we support those home systems comes up because, you know, we have to deal with the fact of temporarily we've put on, you know, our agent so that we can verify that the system stays up to date and has virus protection and things of that nature. But going forward, you know, right now I've done those at a reduced rate because it's temporary and I figure, but if it goes full time and I have to now support those home systems, well, they're not going to get a reduced rate the entire time. So have you guys looked at that type of scenario as to, you know, how you're going to support people in the office?
Yeah, we did. And we looked at basically I want to call it a kit kind of thing. So it would have, you know, some type of wireless in it, some type of, you know, this thing in it, some type of that thing in it. And then, you know, all the peripherals that they need to have, the antivirus, the whether or not they were going to have some type of managed detection and response, you know, whatever the situation was going to be. And that would be, you know, whatever package that we put together for home. And then talking to the client, it would be a whole lot of, are you supplying, you know, a laptop you know, whatever the case might be. Because if that's the case, we're going to recommend, you know, this particular thing with this particular kit, and they can just take it home and they're ready to go.
Okay, so you're talking about building an actual work from home kit for them to take home. But but if you're talking about wireless, I mean, you're not talking about replacing somebody's in-home router or firewall, are you?
We haven't decided yet. Yeah. I hate to say yes because, you know, both Comcast and Verizon up here both have pretty solid offerings as far as that goes. And as long as they're, you know, secured down properly, I really don't care what they use, to be honest with you, as long as it works.
Right. And are most of them using VPN connections into the office, or are they using something like CenterStack or something like that to connect in?
So the guys would better be the answer for that one, because I don't know it off the top of my head. As far as what exactly everybody is using, we have a lot of people doing SharePoint right now.
All right.
So I would say that's probably 85% of what we have going on.
Okay.
And then everybody else is mobile by default. So they're terminal server, and they're all kind of within their own ecosystem as far as that goes. But we have a couple outliers, but for the most part, it's SharePoint.
Okay. All right.
Office 365, that kind of thing.
All right. Back to the house.
Yep, absolutely.
So you bought the building. How did you get to buy the oldest building in town?
It came up for sale.
And was it like a renovation thing where, you know, hey, we need to save this building. Why not us?
So it was really funny. Where we're at, one of our clients is actually the municipality that's there. And we got an email from them. I got an email from the economic development person for the county. I got an email from our realtor. It was kind of one of those things where like all the stars aligned and they're like, hey, have you looked at this property? I'm like, no, I haven't yet, but probably we should. That was the realtor. It was like, hey, let's go take a look at this. And it wasn't like, you know, an hour after we looked at the place, we got, you know, the county and then the actual municipality weighed in and said, hey, have you taken a look at this? And we're like, yeah, we were just there. So it was
so they wanted you to take the building.
Yeah.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really interesting. So we walked in and we walked through a side door, walked around the corner, and the original kitchen is still, you know, all intact because it was a house before. And of course the fireplace was there because it was built in 1810 and it's a 9-foot wide fireplace. And I was like, yeah, we're going to take this one. I don't really care what the rest of this is. This is just cool. So I think we're the only office that actually has a working 9-foot wide fireplace that I can literally stand in.
Wow.
Yeah, it's wild. And there's a couple other working fireplaces in the building as well. So conference room has one. Actually, our knock area has a fireplace. It's a beautiful place to go to work. You actually feel like you're coming home.
All right. So let me make a note here. We probably need to do a virtual
walkthrough.
Like a Cribs podcast where
you walk absolutely
us and show us all that stuff, because that sounds pretty cool. Now, did you have to do anything when you moved in?
No, it was fine.
It was ready?
I mean, oh gosh,
really?
No. So the people that lived there, they were older, and the husband had died, I think, a year before. The place sat empty for about a year as well. So it was in some pretty rough shape. There was so much wallpaper. There was wallpaper everywhere.
Of course.
It was awful. It was some awful wallpaper. So there was a lot of, you know, removal of things. What we didn't do was move walls. We didn't have to do any like major renovations. And some of the things we felt needed to be left alone because it is basically, we're caretakers of a historical property.
It's historic. So
it is.
Okay.
It is. So we've been very picky about what we've done and what we haven't. And of course, we also have to go before the Historical Architectural Review Board in town anytime we want to make changes to the facade or anything like that. So anything that can be seen from the street has to adhere to certain rules.
Right.
So from, you know, signage to anything we do out front, it's got to be very particular.
Mm. And I'm assuming the same will apply for the sister house.
For the one next door, yeah.
Okay. How old are these?
So The one that we have is 1810. There was something on the site from 1790. So we think part of the foundation is from 1790. Wow. And then, yeah, you can imagine what running Cat 6 was like through that building. That was an adventure. The other one I think was 1830s, 1840s. So it's a little bit newer and brick, so it shouldn't be nearly as bad.
A little bit newer. 1830.
I know. It's practically brand new.
The building code was so much better. It's not log.
It's exactly right. It's not log.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So that is interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. So, okay, I'm having multiple thoughts simultaneously, so let me separate them out. So because of that, are you guys now a fixture in the town? Like, are you the talk of the town because of buying the house? And does that help with the business in any way?
I want to say yes, but I don't really know that that's the case. I think everybody knows change of ownership. If we're outside, like, I still mow the lawn there, you know, that kind of thing. And
what?
There's plenty of, oh yeah, I don't have anybody to do it. So I stopped by the other day and mowed the lawn. It's not unusual for people in town to stop and say, we love what you've done with the place. It looks amazing. Do you guys actually live here? No, we don't. It's full office. And they're like, oh, it's so nice. So much, you know, nicer than it was, blah, 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 blah. And a lot of people know the history of the house. So it's very interesting to have people stop by and comment on it and talk to us about it and things like that. So I think people do stop by specifically for that kind of thing. The town actually does some really nice things through the year as well. And unfortunately, they got canceled this year. But one of the things that they do is like a wine walk, and we have people in during this wine walk, and they, you know, stop by. I usually have an artist that comes and hangs a full show for me in the building. So I have people come in and they'll buy her artwork and we drink wine and just have a really nice time, but they all come in to take a look at the building. So
I was going to say, you should get the other building just for things like that. Maybe put together a little meeting room.
It'd actually be kind of nice. Yeah.
You know, and have people come over and do receptions there and happy hours and stuff. So.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it actually has some really nice pocket doors in the one office, and I've been, you know, eyeing those up for a while. So.
All right. How about that for a left turn?
I know, right? I think last time we got on weird music, so.
We did. Well, and here's the thing, because, of course, I watch, you know, my wife's been home, so I'm watching every freaking HGTV and DIY and watching Celebrity IOU now. Have you seen that show?
Oh, I have not seen that. No, I have not seen that.
I didn't think I would like it. But I think that that's a show people should watch. It's on HGTV with the Property Brothers. I don't know. Do you even watch HGTV? Here I am assuming.
So I've seen the Property Brothers a number of times. I've seen a couple shows on HGTV. Was it the Joanna and Chip Gaines?
Oh yeah.
We're a fan of that. I'm pretty sure I'm married to the Pennsylvania version of Chip Gaines. So.
Okay.
Yeah, like literally I can watch that show and I know exactly what Chip is going to say before he says it, because it's exactly what my husband would do. So
even if he turns left and.
Yeah, it's the same kind of stuff.
Okay. All right. So yeah, we watch those shows. We watch Hometown now, and don't worry about it. So the Celebrity IOU is where, the Property Brothers, their names just went blank.
Those guys.
Jonathan and Drew.
Yeah.
So they worked with celebrities who actually will do something for, you know, an important part of their life. So Melissa McCarthy did, you know, her, I think it was aunt and uncle or something that helped raise her. And they had lived in the same house for 40, 50 years and had never done anything. And she convinced them to like leave for a month or something. And then she had the Property Brothers come in and fix up their entire house.
Oh, that's nice.
So, you know, I didn't think I would like that, but that one turned out to be okay. I like it, because I thought they were just, you know, doing it. And I'm like, you're rich. You don't need a show to do stuff
right.
But the way that they're doing it now, it's actually, you know, it's for people who wouldn't want them to do that sort of stuff. And they, you know,
They do it anyway.
They do it anyway. And so it's turned out really nice.
So can we take another left turn?
Go right ahead.
And can we talk about like community service and what are you doing? Because usually you're doing junior achievement and things like that. And we're kind of, our hands are tied at the moment. So what are you doing for community service?
Okay, so here's what I'm supposed to be doing.
Okay.
So Junior Achievement is putting together a local and national speaker circuit. Well, not a circuit, but they're putting together this package of videos from people that went through Junior Achievement and are now, you know, considered successful. And we're supposed to be putting together these speaker videos, and I need to work on mine. That will go up either on a local Junior Achievement website or the national website, and just talk about, you know, here's what Junior Achievement did for me. Here's the things I've done in my life that I can attribute back to there. So that's something that I've been working with, or I should be working with more for Junior Achievement to do. And that's the first thing that pops up. The other thing I think has just been working with their alumni association to be more active. Junior Achievement is one of those organizations where there should be much more recognition than what they've gotten in terms of their contributions to society, to our economy, to, you know, helping people become businessmen and women and make things happen. So we're working with that to try to do some stuff there.
Cool.
What are you doing?
What I'm supposed to be doing. is that how that goes?
Yeah.
So I'm a Rotarian, and, you know, one of the biggest things that we do is give back to the community. So we've set aside a good chunk of money for people in the local communities as far as food banks and things like that, making sure that everybody has food to eat because people lost their jobs left, right, and sideways with, you know, the pandemic. So we're doing some of that. We're doing a lot of outreach for people in nursing homes, in people that are, you know, home, sick, that kind of thing, older members of the community. So writing letters and cards and stuff along that. I mean, we're actually looking for community service type things that we can do from home. And it's really difficult to find things to do.
Difficult because things aren't being done and people are kind of stuck, or difficult because there's so much already being done?
Difficult in that we are used to being out in the community physically doing things. And it's difficult to be physically out in the community doing things when you're not allowed to be out in the community physically doing things. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we had looked at one of the sites that we were doing some actual work at. We were trying to get out and be able to, you know, get back into there and finish up some of the work that needed to get done. And we had to put that aside too, because that county wasn't open yet. So we're just now looking at, you know, opening up this county, I think next week. So, yeah.
Okay. So you took a hard left, so I'm going to keep us, I'm going to keep us going. But, but first, before we do that, I know that we had talked about, you know, the show being an hour. So what type of a stop do you have if we go over?
Not too awful much. I do have we have a wind down after this. We do wind down Wednesday.
Okay. All right. So here's the thing. So, you know, I have to admit that part of why I haven't been able to do as much is because, as we discussed before the show, my wife has been sick. Yep. So I've been, I don't want to say I've been tied to the house, but it's something where a lot of things got put on hold.
But I mean, when your significant other, your helpmate, that person that you go through life with, when they are down and out, I mean, you're their second pair of hands. I mean, you do what you need to do to make sure that they have what they need and they're taken care of properly and things like that. I mean, I totally get it.
Yeah. But in having, you know, I've do this podcast for the tech community. And one of the things that I had been planning to do for a long time was to do a personal podcast going back to, you know, my high school friends, college friends, Junior Achievement. And she actually said, you know what, why don't you go ahead and start it now? Because you just need to. So yeah. I did do that. And one of the discussions that always comes up is, you know, how much more we should be doing to stay in touch and to be active and things like that. So it sounds like you guys are doing that within your community. So I wanted to ask, is it something that you're doing because you think the business should, or is it something that you're doing because that's what you want to do?
I think it's very important, both as a business owner, but morally and ethically, to give back to your community, period, the end.
Okay.
If you're a part of a community, be a part of your community. If all you're doing is living there, you're not a part of the community. Go be a part of it. Do what you need to do. Help your people out around you. You know, just be a part of something.
All right. So
that's just me personally.
So outside of these food drives you talked about doing now, like what are some things that you have done in the past, or some things maybe you're thinking of doing that need to happen?
So things that need to happen, I think there's still a lot of, there's some good jobs that are going to go away, for starters. So I think people need to start looking at, you know, different ways that work can get accomplished. And that's within any business that's out there. I mean, there's plenty of restaurants that aren't going to open back up. So those people work there. Where are they going to work now? So we need to take a look at some of that. And I think that's just conversations that are going to happen in the business community. Like how can we help, you know, either something get back open, or how can we possibly hire people that don't necessarily have the skills that we're looking for, but, you know, we know these people over here that, you know, they have adequate skills to work there. So how do we get everybody connected in the most efficient way to get people back to work that want to work?
Okay.
So that's one thing for sure.
All right. Are you a part of a networking group? I know you're Rotarian, but do you do any other networking for, you know, for the business or socially?
Yes and no. We do some through one of the chambers that are local to us. So we have that availability. Other than that, we don't. We're a little bit introverted in that respect. So in the local community, it's Rotary that gets me involved. But as far as networking groups, I don't do networking groups. It's just a matter of, like, I have contacts all over the place, but the networking group thing, I don't do much of that. Cause a lot of it, I hate to say it this way, but you get out there and you're like, all you see is mompreneurs that are selling their oils and their other things. And I'm like, I don't need this in my life. So
that's true. Cause I was in them and I got tired because it was full of salespeople.
Right.
And you know, once you get through the sales pitch and it's like, okay, I already have this, or I already have that. Or once you do that initial business with them, they're gone.
Right. And I'm not saying they're all like that. It's just a matter of finding the right one.
Right.
And in our area, I mean, the chambers are usually pretty good. You find a couple of decent people that you want to hang out with there. And I found some really good friends through a local chamber, and we all hang out still and do things together and talk and that kind of thing. But the average networking group is not really for me.
Okay. All right. So, like I said, I've stopped doing that. So the wife and I, obviously, we have a volunteer homeowners association down here. Mm-hmm. That was one of my stipulations. I did not want to be in a house that had a real homeowners association, because I didn't want the HOA Nazi telling me.
Ain't nobody like that, yeah.
but we make it a point to be a part of that because, you know, when it's voluntary, it's different. You have a different attitude, and having the community band together for projects and stuff. And our HOA is always looking for a project to help somebody, whether it's in our immediate neighborhood or, you know, a neighborhood next to us. You know, maybe it's an elderly person that needs help. You know, they need, mm-hmm. you know, somebody who can't go out and, you know, mow their own lawn anymore.
Exactly.
That sort of stuff. So we do stuff like that. One of the things that I've been looking at, and you mentioned the fact that businesses are going to close.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a thing.
You know, one of the things that's happening down here is people are really trying to find a way to present all of the businesses that are still there. They might be struggling, but to, you know, highlight them or spotlight them so that, hey, this week, everybody make it a point to go visit this business and support your local business.
Mm-hmm.
And
we actually have, there's a Facebook group for our area.
Okay.
Yeah, and somebody had started it and it did the same kind of thing. Like, hey, you know, put your business in here, you know, let people know what it is that you do. And it's been a whole lot of, hey, I need this particular thing. Who does that here?
Right.
So, I mean, that's been fantastic. And it was done with, you know, the best intentions, and people have used it with the best of intentions. So that's been good to see that people banded together and banded together well.
Right. So I was going to go somewhere else, but I'm going to avoid going down that road. only because I don't want to bash like Amazon, because I think that's where a lot of the frustration was, is that, you know, the big organizations, and not that Amazon, because a lot of smaller businesses are a part of Amazon, and that's the weird part about it. But everybody sees Amazon and Walmart and stuff, whereas the mom and pops are the ones being hurt. So that was something our community's trying to figure out. How can we support the local businesses? Like, you know, we're going to need a new door eventually. So it's like, we want to make sure we find a local door company instead of going to Home Depot or Lowe's. And
right.
I mean, it's, I don't want to make it anti Home Depot or Lowe's, but, you know, support the people that need help.
Yeah. It's the remembering that there are small businesses out there, and it's those small businesses that provide a lot of jobs, believe it or not. I know everybody thinks, oh, well, everybody's employed at this big company. But the truth of the matter is that small businesses employ most of the people in the United States.
Yes. Yep. All right. Let me get off that road before we go too far.
That's okay. No, it's all good.
All right. Well, let's do this. Florida man versus the world. Do you have a story?
I don't. I wish I did, but my gosh, I love these, and I wait for them like every time you post one, and I'm still laughing at the lady that got drunk in the bar and kissed somebody, and it was hilarious. Those are awesome. I don't have one. I think the only Florida story I have is we were down, I think it was 2 years ago. My brother now lives in Florida, so I'm literally related to Florida man now, I think. So, and we were at, it was a lake called Mount Dora, I believe, or the town. And they had signs up around the lake that says, do not instigate the alligators. And I was like, how do you instigate an alligator? And apparently, you know, people like wade in and take pictures of them and start throwing food at them and crazy stuff like that. And I was like, wow, instigate alligators. So I want to see Florida man instigate an alligator.
Well, I'm sure there's probably 100 of those types of stories where, you know, I always get reminded. So whenever I put these out, or whenever somebody, my good friend Chad from up north always wants to remind me that nothing is better than the person who threw an alligator through a Wendy's drive-thru window.
Was it a big alligator or a small alligator?
It was a small alligator, but it was pretty funny. So, all right. Well, I won't, since we don't have a contender, I'll just read the headlines.
Excellent. Okay.
We'll see if somebody wants to, because I don't think I have a submission from, I usually get submissions from people sending me the stories. But so this one's actually a good story. So a Florida man reunited with stolen class ring 52 years later. So that's a good story.
That is a good story. Was it his class ring or just a random one?
it was his. 52 years after it was stolen during his senior year.
So it was stolen by another Florida man.
Probably. In 1968. Wow.
Nice.
Florida man who thought coronavirus was a fake crisis gets infected, admits he was wrong.
No way.
I think we've had like 10 of those down here.
But I mean, he admitted he was wrong, though.
Oh, that part. Okay. Let's see. Florida man accused of exposing himself claims he needed to air out.
Oh, I think I saw that one on Reddit, actually. That was pretty good.
Okay. Let's see. This is all about the Florida man stuck on the cruise ship.
Oh, my gosh. Has this just become a meme at this point?
Oh, like, it's been a meme. It's been a meme for years. There were actually websites devoted to Florida Man.
Oh, wow.
Every day just putting on. And there was actually a Florida Man podcast I saw a couple of years ago. It hasn't been on for a while. I think they just got tired because it's too easy for everybody to do a Florida man story. So.
Oh, wow.
All right. Well, that was that's some of the headlines for the last 24. That's just the last 24 hours.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Here's the one. So, okay, this one's 6 days ago. This one I'm sure you've probably seen. Florida man attacks victim who didn't thank him for holding open door to liquor store.
I did see that one. Yes. Yes.
That's my state. all right. So enough of that. Anything that we thought we were going to talk about that you wanted to make sure we at least highlighted or mention, anything that you wanted to bring up?
No, I mean, we actually kind of did stick to the outline.
We did. I tried to get us back on course.
Yeah, you did a good job. You literally wrangled cats for the most part today. So I'm proud of you. No, actually, you had a really good outline. So I was actually really excited when I saw it.
All right, good. All right. So we'll have to stay in touch.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
We have plans for something else coming down the road. And as soon as the stars align for that, we will do it.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to start working on this Third Element Cribs edition.
Okay, cool.
Figure that out. All right.
Actually, I think it would be a lot of fun to see other people's offices. Yeah.
You know what? We could make a whole series out of that. We'd have several people. We could. Can't do it out of my office. It's too small and too messy.
Oh, you totally could. I mean, just pan the camera around and pretty be much. Like, hey, here we are.
Yep. Well, although I have to go through the window, I'd have to, because that's my tech area in the back. So I have my little, my little captain's window I watch from.
Oh, nice.
All right. Well, Don, thank you very much for doing this.
It has been an honor and a privilege, as always. This capped off my day. I'm so glad we did this.
You're going to go right from this to wine, aren't you?
I am. I'm going from this to wine down, yeah.
Beautiful. All right. I'll send you all off with a smile. So, ladies and gentlemen, Don Sizer, CEO of Third Element Consulting, and one of my better guests at following...
Oh, that's sad.
I was going to say, one of my better guests at following the outline and trying to stay on course with me.
So. We just stopped at one of your better guests. I was like, nope.
All right. So that's going to do it for this episode of Podnuts Pro. Be sure to head over to podnuts.com and check out some of the other shows. Support the affiliates and sponsors of the network. If you want to support the show, click on my Amazon store link. And do your shopping on Amazon just as you normally do. No change in price, but a little bit comes back to the show to help pay for hosting and streaming and stuff like that so that I can keep bringing great guests like Don Sizer onto the show. So that's going to do it. Thank you very much. And until next time, holla.